Well, thank God for that, she grumbled. I'd hate to get on the bad side of a hard-headed, hot badass. He chuckled again and directed the driver to take them to Drake's apartment. As soon as he issued the order, the light-hearted mood was over, and Evangeline became quiet and brooding. And rigid as hell. The entire ride to Drake's apartment, she looked like someone going to her execution. 12. Drake's car pulled into the alleyway of his apartment building, adjacent to the side entrance, and he quickly got out and strode inside. As he rode the elevator up, he loosened the neck of his buttoned-up shirt and divested himself of his suit coat, throwing it over one arm. He realized he was restless. He'd been that way all day since leaving Evangeline in his bed this morning. There was an edginess to him that defied explanation, an urge to cement his relationship with Evangeline and outline his expectations so there would be no question of his intentions. Tonight, he would have her. But first, they'd have the discussion that had been brewing in his mind all day, followed by a casual, relaxed dinner, which would give her time to digest all he would say to her. And then he would take her, possess her. He would show her to whom she belonged now. Fierce satisfaction gripped him, and he realized he hadn't anticipated the company of a woman so much in his life. For that matter, for the first time ever, he wasn't already deciding how long his affair would last. He never began an affair without knowing when it would end, and yet he hadn't even considered anything beyond securing Evangeline and making sure she didn't go anywhere for a damn long time. Hell, was he contemplating an actual relationship as opposed to a quick fuck or a fling? Maybe he was losing his goddamn mind. He was certain his men thought so. And maybe he was, because his world had tilted on its axis the moment he'd seen Evangeline walk into his club. And nothing had been the same since. When the elevator opened, he stepped into his apartment and immediately swung his head toward the kitchen, frowning. A delicious aroma wafted through his nostrils. He checked his watch, certain he wasn't mistaken on the time. He'd left his office so he would arrive sharply at 6, as he'd informed Justice. Surely the delivery service wouldn't have made such a mistake and delivered the food before the requested time. He had the entire evening meticulously planned, and he didn't like interruptions or unexpected twists. He tossed his suit coat over the coat hanger by the elevator and walked into the kitchen only to pull up abruptly when he saw Evangeline at his stove manning 4 different skillets. He was a blunt man and not prone to putting much thought into how things were worded. Not when his words were sufficient to get results. "What the hell are you doing?" he demanded. Evangeline jumped, nearly dropping the spatula she held. She turned her head in his direction, her eyes huge in her face, as she gazed anxiously at him. Clear confusion was reflected in her vivid blue eyes, and then she cast him a puzzled look that suggested he was in error for asking what she was doing.
"Justice told me you would be here at 6, for me not to dress, and that we were having dinner in. I assumed that meant you wanted me to cook. He did say we were eating in," she repeated, as though reassuring herself she hadn't misunderstood what Justice had told her.
There was a tremble to her voice, and Drake sighed, realizing how it could well have been misconstrued on her part. The edge of fear and uncertainty in her eyes made his response instinctively gentle. He didn't want to start the evening out on a bad note. Not when so much was riding on it. "I have no intention of turning you into a domestic slave, nor do I expect you to cook for me. I have a delivery service that brings in the finest meals when I want to eat in. They come in, set the table, and quietly make an exit. I had a delivery scheduled for 7. I had planned for us to talk before we ate."
"Oh,"
Evangeline murmured. She looked down at the meal she was preparing, color rising in her cheeks,
embarrassment dulling her usually brilliant blue eyes. It was like a physical blow to his stomach, and made him feel like the worst sort of ass for being so blunt and making his statement sound like a reprimand. As though she had done something wrong. When actually, the fact that she had prepared a home-cooked meal for him touched him absurdly. His own mother, what he could remember of the bitch, certainly hadn't ever cooked him anything.
"I'm sorry," she said in a hushed whisper. "I can throw it out. I misunderstood. I'm sorry," she said again.
He felt like he'd just kicked a puppy, and it wasn't a pleasant experience. He in no way wanted to hurt her feelings when she'd obviously gone to great effort to prepare what appeared to be a sumptuous dinner. "Absolutely not," he said firmly. "It smells delicious, and good food should never go to waste. I'll just call the delivery service and cancel our order. How long before dinner will be ready?" She still wouldn't meet his gaze, and she picked up a large spoon and stirred the ingredients in one of the pans.
"It's ready now. I was just keeping it warm so I could serve it as soon as you got here," she said softly.
He realized their talk was going to have to wait until after dinner, but he wasn't about to start out by hurting Evangeline's feelings and giving her reason to erect a wall between them. No matter if it tasted like shit, he'd eat it and compliment her on it, because he wouldn't humiliate her in any way. And he reminded himself again that she'd cooked for him. It was a simple thing, but no woman had ever offered to cook for him, much less made the effort to have dinner ready as soon as he walked in the door from work. He walked over to where she stood and slid his arms around her body, molding her back to his chest. He leaned down and brushed his lips over the bare expanse of her neck, smiling when he elicited a shiver from her. "If it tastes even half as good as it smells, then it will be excellent." She relaxed against him, the tension escaping her body.
"Why don't you go change into something more comfortable, and I'll get dinner on the table," she said in a shy voice.
He kissed her neck one more time, this time nibbling at the silky skin before disengaging himself from her and heading to his bedroom. Okay, so the talk would have to come after dinner, but the fact that she'd cooked for him said something. She wasn't fighting, and apparently she hadn't had a change of heart. He'd fully expected Justice to call him and bitch and moan about playing babysitter all day, but to his surprise, all Justice had said after he'd dropped Evangeline back at Drake's apartment was, "You've got a good one, Drake. Don't fuck it up." He frowned. He'd already seen Maddox's reaction to her, as well as Thane's. And now Justice had evidently fallen victim to her charm as well. He wasn't at all certain he liked the impact she was having on his men. She'd have them all eating out of her hand. And he had a suspicion that if Evangeline did get cold feet and bail, one or all three of the men would make a play for her. Like hell that was going to happen. After changing into a pair of comfortable jeans and a t-shirt, he returned to the kitchen to find Evangeline arranging the plates on the dining room table. When she heard him, she turned, a grimace on her lips.
"I wasn't certain of your preference in wine, so I bought red and white."
"I like both, so I'll have whatever you're having," he said. She opened a bottle and poured two glasses, then stood nervously, watching him as if unsure what to do next. "Sit," he said. "We don't want the food to get cold." He pulled back the chair for her, and she slid into it, and then he took the one across from her, so he could watch her and see into her eyes. He hadn't even paid attention to what she'd been cooking, but now that he examined the artfully arranged plate before him, he realized she'd blackened a fish fillet with a sauce drizzled over it. There was a baked potato and two side dishes he didn't recognize. But it looked and smelled good. The presentation was worthy of any restaurant he frequented. He was accustomed to fine dining, an indulgence he didn't deny himself now that he had the means to do so.
growing up dirt poor and always hungry, had a way of carving a man's soul. He'd made a vow on his mother's grave when he was 11 years old that her life would not be his, that he would do and have more. And above all, he'd sworn he'd never be hungry again. While he was miserly with his fortune when it came to business matters, causing his partners to poke fun at his tight purse strings, he had no qualms about indulging in personal luxuries, fine dining being uppermost. So he knew a professional presentation when he saw one, and Evangeline's dish looked every bit as skillful and masterful as those served in his favorite and most exclusive restaurants. It remained to be seen whether the taste matched the appearance, but so far he was impressed. His angel was full of surprises, it would seem. Suddenly he was eager to ferret out her secrets. What made her tick? What lay beneath the veil of sweet innocence and a shine that was impossible to go unnoticed by any living, breathing person within 100 yards of her? She fiddled with her fork, peeking up at him from beneath her eyelashes. He dug into the fish and took a bite, and then halted. He chewed and then quickly took another bite, not believing what he'd just experienced. Now motivated to taste the other offerings, he forked into the two unknown sides and then leaned back with a groan. She looked apprehensive, and he noticed she hadn't taken a single bite of her own meal. "This is amazing, Evangeline. It tastes magnificent. You cooked this. Are you sure you haven't pulled one over on me and ordered in?" he teased. Her face colored, but her eyes shone with delight at his compliment, and she ducked her head self-consciously, then nodded. "I love to cook," she said softly. Then she lifted her head so their gazes met, and her cheeks went pink all over again. "I'm pretty good at it, actually. I did all the cooking when I lived back home, and I cook for my roommates to save money so we don't eat out all the time. When I was young, I would go to the library and check out cookbooks and copy the recipes. We couldn't afford cable or satellite television, so I couldn't watch cooking channels, so I learned by trial and error. It's amazing the wonderful tasting meals you can make with inexpensive ingredients. The secret is in the seasoning. Eating out was a luxury we couldn't afford. Not even fast food, and, well, when I got better at cooking, to be honest, I much preferred my own cooking over greasy takeout food." He barely managed to stifle the frown forming. When had Evangeline ever had time to live her own life? To have a life of her own, for that matter? From the bits and pieces he'd been able to put together, she'd sacrificed everything for her family, even leaving home so she could make more money, but lived in squalor in order to support her parents. And he still had no idea why her parents couldn't do for themselves. She'd told him her father had been injured on the job, and workman's comp found a way out of paying. But what was the mother's story? It made him angry that a beautiful young girl on the cusp of womanhood had put everything on hold to work herself to the bone, setting aside her own wants and desires for others. But then it also made her special, head and shoulders above others, for her sheer generosity and selflessness. "How old were you when you started teaching yourself to cook?" he asked, already knowing he wasn't going to like the answer.
9, she said, as if it were the most normal thing in the world. "Mom helped as much as she could, but it was more important for her to be with Dad, so I took over the kitchen, and they pretended not to notice when smoke filled the kitchen and I ran through the house opening all the doors and windows," she finished with a laugh.
But Drake wasn't laughing. He was furious. 9. She'd been 9 years old when she'd assumed the role as primary caregiver for her adult parents. He had to put his hands down below the table so she didn't see the tight fists that formed. And her attitude said it all. She didn't see anything abnormal about a mere child being forced into adulthood and taking on a mountain of responsibility. Never having a childhood. Much like himself, though their circumstances were vastly different. She, at least, had food to eat, and she hadn't voiced a single complaint about the way her parents treated her. In fact, every time she spoke of her family, her face softened, and her eyes went warm with love. But it didn't change the fact that she'd been cheated of things most children took for granted. Did she ever plan to live her own life? To do something solely for herself? Hell yes. He would see to that. He couldn't change the past for either of them, but he could damn sure change Evangeline's future, and her days of putting her own needs aside for the people she loved were over. He couldn't make her many promises, but he could at least make her that one. Never again would she be in servitude, willingly or not, to others. They continued to eat in silence, as he pondered the puzzle that was Evangeline Hawthorne. And more, he came to the realization that she was unlike any other woman he'd ever known, and he wasn't sure what to do with that. Or with her. He was finding himself in a predicament he'd never before experienced. He handled all the women he'd taken up with, no matter how short of a time it was, with practiced ease. Never missing a step. He performed by rote, and his efforts were greatly appreciated, and met with delight. For the first time in his life, he felt doubt over how to handle a woman. The irony wasn't lost on him. It was obvious that he couldn't employ the usual strategy with Evangeline because she wasn't like any of his past women. It might have annoyed another man, but it filled Drake with an eagerness he hadn't ever felt. She was perhaps going to be his greatest challenge, and he thrived on challenges. He would have to figure out just how to handle her. What pleased her? Because the last thing he wanted to do was insult her or damage her pride. And pride was something she had in abundance. He admired and respected that, because he understood pride all too well. His thoughts drifted to his earlier acknowledgement that he hadn't already set a time limit on his relationship. Yes, relationship, a word he'd never before used when referring to time he spent with a woman, with Evangeline. Because one thing he knew for sure, it would take more than a few days, weeks, or even months to fully learn everything there was to know about his angel. And he looked forward to every moment. Realizing his plate was completely cleaned, he leaned back in his chair and settled his gaze on what was his. That was wonderful, Evangeline. You were wrong when you said you were pretty good at cooking, though. Her eyes widened, but before she could draw the wrong conclusion, he continued. You're an amazing cook. I've eaten in more 5-star restaurants than I can count. And that was the best meal I've ever eaten. And the fact that you made it for me only makes it more special. Thank you. She blushed furiously, but her eyes shone with happiness at his compliment. Her entire face lit up, and he was momentarily robbed of breath at how radiant she looked. Good God. How had the woman gotten to the age of 23 before losing her virginity to an asshole? Men had to have been trying to get into her pants since she was a teenager. But then he already had his answer to that question. Men hadn't figured into Evangeline's plans or goals. She'd been too busy taking care of her family and working all hours of the day to entertain thoughts of a relationship. He frowned to himself, as he also remembered one very important reason Evangeline wasn't experienced. She had no clue how beautiful she was. She thought she was nothing and nobody. If it was the last thing he did, he was going to damn well make her see herself the way he and the rest of the world did.
There's dessert, too, she said. No good meal ends without dessert. I only had time to whip up something simple given time constraints. But you have your choice of homemade chocolate mousse with whipped cream topping, or cupcakes.
Both,
he said, without a single moment of hesitation, prompting her to laugh.
Somehow I didn't see you as a cupcake person, she said with amusement.
If it's got sugar, I like it.
Wait until you try my caramel Heath bar pie, she said in a dreamy voice. It's sinful.
I can't wait, he said in a husky voice that suggested there were other things he couldn't wait for as well.
She smiled and hurried away, returning with an elegant sterling silver tray bearing two cupcakes and two artfully prepared crystal serving dishes of the chocolate mousse. He eyed both, knowing that if dessert lived up to dinner, he was going to be groaning afterward. He was not disappointed.
You're already spoiling me, he said, as she slid the dishes away and took his dinner napkin to dab at the crumbs that were no doubt clinging to his mouth.
Certainly not as much as you are me, she said pointedly.
Good.
Evangeline rose, a smile still shining on her lips, and began collecting the empty plates. Drake frowned and then wrapped his fingers around her wrist, effectively halting her.
Leave them, he said. The cleaning lady will be in tomorrow morning. That's what I pay her to do. You and I have things to discuss.
Her instant look of uncertainty made his chest tighten to the point of discomfort. He purposely dropped her wrist, and then rose and held out his hand to hers, waiting for her to make the choice of whether to take his hand. He was shocked over his actions. He never allowed others to dictate matters, or allowed someone else to take the initiative. He was a take-charge man, ruthless even. And yet here he waited for one small woman to trust him enough to decide to take his hand. But when her silky, soft fingers slid trustingly into his, he was suddenly glad he had waited and not taken the choice from her. Somehow it meant so much more that she'd come to him willingly, no longer any hint of apprehension in her eyes. He guided her into the living room and settled her on the couch. Suddenly remembering the small box in his pants pocket, he reached for it, still holding onto her hand with his other. He held it out to her wordlessly. He wasn't a mushy, sentimental guy by any stretch, and he always let the gifts do their own talking. It had always worked for him in the past. But she stared at the wrapped package in stupefaction, and then lifted her surprised gaze to his.
Drake, what is this?
The corners of his mouth quirked into a half smile.
Open it and find out. Isn't that what one usually does?
Instead of tearing into it, as most women of his acquaintance tended to do, she stared at it in awe, touching the ribbon and the colored paper reverently. Jesus, had no one ever given her a gift before? No, he didn't want to know the answer to that. It would only piss him off more.
I'm afraid to ruin it, she said huskily. It's too pretty.
She was threatening to turn him into knots, and he hadn't even cemented that she was his and his alone yet. What this said about the future, he wasn't sure, but he wasn't entirely certain he liked it. But he smiled indulgently, feeling something remarkably like relaxation settling into his chest. His cell was turned off, something he never did, and all his men had strict instructions, under threat of dismemberment this time, that he was not to be disturbed, as he'd been last night. By God, he'd have things between him and Evangeline settled tonight, come hell or high water. Tentatively, she began to unwrap it, careful not to make a single tear in the paper. She slid her fingernail under the tape, and lifted until she was able to free the box with the paper completely intact. She fingered the ribbon a moment, as if savoring the satiny texture, much as he had savored the same satiny feel of her skin. With the box now sitting on her lap, she stared at it as if she had no idea what to do next. He could see her sudden inhale, and the fact that she didn't immediately exhale.
"Open it, Angel," he said in a husky voice he didn't recognize. Her fingers trembling, she slipped the lid off and bit her lip in consternation when she found yet another box, this one a velvet jeweler's box inside the other. She turned it over and gently shook until the velvet box fell into her palm, and then she turned it over, her thumb clumsily opening the front.
"Oh, Drake," she whispered.
Tears sparkled in her eyes as she looked up at him, and there was clear distress. "What the hell?"
"You shouldn't have. It's too expensive," she said in a panicked tone.
And yet her finger trailed over the delicate angel pendant on the gold necklace nestled in the box. "Do you like it?" he asked pointedly.
"I love it," she said without hesitation. "It's the most beautiful thing anyone has ever given me."
The ache in her voice gave him an answering ache in his chest. "Then it wasn't too expensive."
"But Drake, you barely know me," she protested. "You didn't need to buy me a gift."
"And you didn't need to cook me dinner," he challenged. "And yet you did." She looked flustered, as if she had no idea what to say to that. He knew if he waited for her to take the necklace out and put it on, they'd be there all night. So he took the box from her lap, removed the necklace from the trappings, and then instructed her to turn around. She shifted immediately, and once again, he was assailed by satisfaction that she heeded his commands without thought. This wasn't a woman who could or would be just anyone submissive, and that made her all the more desirable to him. No, she was his submissive. He didn't fool himself into thinking she was a natural submissive and would react this way with just any man. That she had chosen him, whether she consciously realized it yet or not, was something he would not take for granted, and he would most certainly cherish it for the precious gift it was. When she turned back around, her gaze and her fingers lowered to the necklace that rested in the hollow of her breasts. He'd nearly laughed when she'd shockingly said it was too expensive. This was the least expensive gift he'd ever given a woman, and yet it was so appropriate that he couldn't pass it up. And there was also the fact that he knew he had to tread carefully with Evangeline. She wasn't a woman to be draped with gaudy jewelry and clothing from head to toe. She wasn't a woman who needed those accessories to shine or enhance her beauty. Her beauty needed no such embellishments or distractions. He slid his hand into hers and picked it up, shifting himself until they were closer, their thighs touching, their hands resting on his leg. "There are several things we need to discuss tonight, my angel. But first, I want to know what upset you this morning." Her eyes flew up, startled, as she stared at him in obvious confusion. "Something was bothering you when you left to go shopping," he said patiently. "And it had nothing to do with our phone conversation. I'd like to know what it was." Her eyes dropped and she fidgeted, her shoulders slumping as he watched her lips turn down into an unhappy frown. Justice had been right, and Drake suspected he knew precisely the source of her unhappiness. "Did the call to your girls have anything to do with your quietness and the lack of sparkle in your eyes this morning? Because, baby, you shine. You just being you. You shine. Unless something is bothering you or has upset you." He cursed beneath his breath when Evangeline flushed and her lips trembled. She turned her head to try to hide her reaction, as if such a thing were possible. She was a woman with no artifice. One only had to look at her to know what she was thinking or feeling. It was a good thing she was inherently honest, because she'd make a terrible liar. He gently cupped her chin and turned her back to look at him, feeling like someone had punched him in the stomach when he saw the tears welling in her beautiful blue eyes. "Tell me," he said.
They think I've lost my mind, she said in a weary voice. They're worried. I don't blame them for that.
And? Drake prompted, knowing there was far more to it than just this.
Steph told me I was a fool to depend on a man so much, and asked me how long I thought it might take for you to get tired of me and scrape me off, and then where would I be?
There was an edge of bitterness in her voice that suggested her friend's caustic words had hit an already ingrained source of insecurity within Evangeline. If he could get his hands around Steph's neck right now, he'd wring it. Damn woman had already caused enough trouble the night before. And she called herself Evangeline's friend. Hell, with friends like her, who the hell needed enemies?
I shouldn't be so sensitive, she hurriedly said, her worried eyes tracking back to Drake's, as if she thought he would assume she was fishing for assurances or guarantees. It was more the way she said it that bothered me, I guess. She sounded angry, sarcastic, I don't know, maybe even bitter. Like I betrayed them somehow by just up and leaving. And...
She trailed off, dropping her gaze, color once again flooding her face. She bit into her lip, and it was obvious she hadn't intended to say so much. But he already knew how open Evangeline was, and that she was honest to a fault. And what? He gently prompted. She sighed.
The night I went to the club, she, Lana, and Nikki were all about how gorgeous I was, and what a fool Eddie was, and how he didn't know a good thing when he saw it, blah, blah. They told me I don't see that I'm gorgeous. So if Steph really believed all that, then why would she automatically assume that a man like you wouldn't want a woman like me, and would scrape me off at the first opportunity?
Drake had to breathe deeply to compose himself and control the blistering curse words that burned to spill out. Instead, he reached out and framed Evangeline's tear-streaked face in his palms and looked directly into those gorgeous, innocent eyes. I imagine there were a lot of things behind that statement, Angel. I'm sure they were all taken off guard and weren't prepared for you to suddenly move out when you've always been their constant source of emotional support. I'm right, aren't I? It's likely you they seek out when they get their hearts broken or someone's pissed them off, or they just had a bad day. Her expression said it all. There was no need for her to respond, so he continued on. And I'm sure she is worried about you. But baby, listen to me and listen closely, because you won't like what I'm about to tell you, but it doesn't make it any less true. Her eyes locked with his, clear question reflected. She's a jealous bitch. Evangeline gasped and would have responded, no doubt denying any such thing, but Drake slid one hand over so his thumb pressed against her lips, silencing any outburst. She wasn't lying when she told you how beautiful you are, and that you have no clue how beautiful you are. But you aren't a threat when you don't know that fact and don't act on that fact. Don't think for a minute that she isn't eaten up with envy that you're where you are right now, and she's where she is right now, and she's jealous as hell that it's you and not her, and I'd bet my last dollar that she wishes she'd never given you that VIP pass to Impulse. Evangeline looked stricken, but he also saw that his words made an impact. He could see her turning what he'd said over and over in her mind, replaying the conversation, and coming to the same conclusion he had. Then she closed her eyes as more tears silently leaked down her cheeks, colliding with his hands. He leaned forward and, starting from the bottom up, kissed the lines away. First one cheek, and then the other. It doesn't mean she hates you, he said softly. I imagine she already regrets her outburst, and you'll probably get an apology from her, and you, being you, will accept it and put it behind you and you'll remain friends. Everyone is guilty of jealousy at some point or another. and everyone is guilty of saying things they don't mean or lashing out at someone they love. But it doesn't mean she doesn't love you.
Thank you, she whispered.
He stroked her cheeks with his fingers, enjoying the simple act of touching her. The conversation wasn't over by far, because despite Steph's intent, she had planted a seed of doubt in Evangeline's mind. One he needed to get rid of before it festered and ruined something beautiful. Now, there's something else about that conversation I want to address, and I need you to listen to me, he said, making sure she knew how serious he was being. You will never go without. You will always be taken care of. If it makes you feel more secure, I'll see to it right away so you aren't without means even when we're together. I'll buy you an apartment if you want to stay in the city. Or if you prefer to live outside the city, I'll buy you a house. Either will be in your name, of course. In addition, tomorrow I'll start a bank account for you, unless you already have one of your own, and I'll deposit $2 million. However, when you're with me, you aren't to spend a fucking penny of your money. What you wear, what you eat, what you drink, and anything else will be bought and paid for by me. Understand? Evangeline looked utterly appalled. Her expression was so horrified that she looked as if he'd just threatened her with murder. She clapped her hands over her ears.
Stop! Oh, God, just stop! I don't want an apartment or a house, and especially not your money. Are you just trying to make me feel worse?
A shudder of revulsion rolled over her body, and she looked as though she would burst into tears all over again.
That sounds so cheap and tawdry, she choked out. Like I'm some paid prostitute. I'm here because I wanted to be here, Drake. Not because of what I could extort from you, or because you have money. I only wanted you. That you would think that...
She broke off and covered her face with her hands, her shoulders shaking with silent sobs. Drake cursed Steph, himself, and this entire fucked-up situation. He knew Evangeline wasn't like the other women he'd had, and yet he'd just treated her like them. His attempt to assure her that she would never be put in a desperate situation if they were no longer together had gone horribly awry. He wasn't used to women like Evangeline, and he had no idea how to act. He pulled her into his arms and held her tightly against his chest, deeply shaken at her impassioned outburst.
I only wanted you.
When had anyone ever wanted him, the man, for himself, and not what came with him? He was so stunned that he didn't even know how to react.
I'm sorry, Angel, he said gruffly. That's not how I intended that to sound. All I want you to know is that you're safe with me, and that you will never go without. I swear that I meant no offense. It was a shitty thing to say, especially when I know damn well you aren't a gold digger out to fleece me. I just didn't think before I put it out there. I only want you to know, to believe, that I will always ensure you are taken care of. Do you trust me enough to accept my word on that? Slowly, she pulled away from his chest, her eyes glossy with tears. But she stared him in the eye, as if studying his sincerity or intent. He'd never felt so scrutinized in his life. Nor had he ever felt himself so lacking. There wasn't a person in the world who could stare Drake Donovan down and make him feel an ounce of remorse or compassion. Except, apparently, a small, beautiful angel who he knew was a far better person than him. But he wasn't a good enough man to let her go.
You explained what me being with you would mean, that I would be submissive to you, that you control me, all of me, and that I don't get a choice and I don't get to say no. And that scares me, Drake. I won't lie. I've never depended on anyone else. Only myself. It's safer that way. I don't get hurt when I don't give power over me to someone else. Please don't take this as me not trusting you, though God knows it wouldn't be unreasonable not to, considering we've known each other less than 48 hours. I wouldn't be here if I didn't trust you, at least on an instinctual level. And maybe that makes me the naive fool everyone is forever telling me I am. I just need to know more. You want me to submit, to give you ultimate power over me. How does that work exactly? I mean, what will you demand of me? I have to know everything, or I'll just scare myself silly imagining the worst-case scenario.
I never want you to be afraid of me, Angel, he said quietly. Never that. I will not hurt you. I have exacting standards and expectations. They may seem extreme, but in my world, they are necessary evils. Her expression was faintly puzzled. I never want you to feel caged, but I also realize life with me will be an extreme change for you, and you'll need time to adjust. Any time, and I mean every time, you leave this apartment or go anywhere at all without me, you'll have a man on you, and only one of my most trusted. You will be protected at all times. Her eyes widened in alarm, but he plunged ahead before she freaked herself out more than she was already. I'll want you available to me at all times. There will be times when I want you with me when I have to go out. When I'm home, you'll be here with me. When you aren't with me, I'll want to know where you are and who you're with at all times. I will not be pleased if you forget to inform me of your plans. She swallowed nervously. I've already informed your employer that you'll no longer be working there. He broke off when she gasped and shot her a warning look that silenced the protest forming on her lips. Your girls are taken care of. Their rent has been paid for the next 2 years, and I secured a written guarantee from their landlord of no increase in rent for the next 10 years. And tomorrow, I need you to get your parents' bank account number as well as the routing number, so I can wire the necessary funds so that they will no longer have any financial worry. And neither will you continue to work yourself to the bone to provide for them. Evangeline's jaw was clenched tight, and she trembled from head to toe, whether in anger or just emotion, he wasn't sure. But knowing how much pride she had, he doubted it was the latter, and most definitely the former. You stepped into my world willingly, Angel, he said softly. And therefore you agreed to my rules, my way. I promised you would be taken care of, and never want for anything, and that extends to the people who matter to you. Tears glittered brightly, hanging on her dark lashes, such a contrast to her honey blonde hair and mesmerizing blue eyes.
It's easy to see what I get out of this arrangement, she said in a strangled tone. But what do you get, Drake? Because from where I'm sitting, you aren't getting the better end of the bargain by a long shot. In fact, I don't see that you're getting anything at all. So why would you do all of this?
You, Angel. I get you. All of you. And believe me, you're damn wrong about you getting the better end of the bargain. The way I see it, I'll be forever trying to catch up. Because having you is worth more than all the money in the world. He saw her look of shock and the instant eruption of chill bumps on her arms. All you need to do is be you, babe. And from what I already know, that isn't going to be a problem, because you don't have a fake bone in your body. And by being you, you're going to be mine. And I protect and take care of what is mine. Give me your body, your submission, your obedience, your trust, and you. And everything will be all right. I promise you that.
I don't know what to say,
she said helplessly. You've already said enough. You told me yes. You've given me your trust. And to be honest, enough has been said tonight already. Right now, I'm going to take you into the bedroom and make you mine.
13. Drake stood and then simply slid his arms underneath her body and lifted her effortlessly into his hold and strode toward the bedroom. He laid her down on the bed with reverence that brought a knot to her throat. He followed her down, molding his mouth to hers in a hot, breathless kiss that was all-consuming. He broke away, only to rain a trail of kisses down her jaw to just below her ear and nibble lightly at the sensitive skin, eliciting a cascade of chill bumps down her body. Then he licked at her lobe before sucking it gently between his teeth, nipping with just enough force to send shivers of desire down her spine. He leaned up again, and his face hovered directly over hers, so their eyes met, and she could see the burning intensity in his dark gaze.
You are beautiful, Angel. And before tonight is over, you'll not only know how beautiful you are, you'll feel it, too. Oh my God, this man was lethal. Slowly, as if she were the most precious thing in the world, he undressed her, piece by piece. Each time another item was divested, he would dip his mouth and explore the newly exposed region. She was gasping and arching into his touch, and she still wasn't fully unclothed. When her bra loosened, she experienced a brief moment of panic. Her breasts were just average, not firm, and they wouldn't be perky without the aid of a push-up bra. She'd purchased one only because in her line of work, displaying what few assets she had was to her advantage. They weren't saggy, they were just there and a little squishy. Ugh. What the hell is going through your head right now? Drake murmured as he stared into her eyes.
You don't want to know, she muttered.
Stop thinking, he ordered in a commanding tone that had her quivering to her core. His eyes glittered, and she got her first true glimpse of the dominant man she'd given herself to. Just feel, he said, his voice softening from the dominant alpha male to what could only be described as a purr.
Okay.
She whispered. His head lowered, and she sucked in her breath, waiting, aching, dying for the moment when his mouth closed over her nipple. She let out a wail of both pleasure and frustration when instead he flicked his tongue over the already rigid peak, tonguing it to further rigidity. Then he turned and gave the other nipple equal attention, his movements practiced and unhurried. God. They'd been making love all of 2 minutes, and he was already a million times better than Eddie, whose idea of foreplay had been biting, painfully, into each nipple, fingering her roughly, and then spreading her legs and thrusting when she was in no way ready for him. She knew that if Drake spread her thighs and thrust into her right this moment, she would be wet and more than ready. Finally, she got her wish, and his mouth closed tight around her nipple, sucking gently at first, and then harder with rhythmic pulls, until her vision went blurry.
Oh, God, Drake, you have to stop. Please don't stop.
She knew she wasn't making a bit of sense, but she was nearly delirious with ecstasy, and all he'd done was kiss her lips, her neck, and her breasts. He chuckled, his warm breath vibrating against her nipple, making it stiffen even more.
Which is it, my angel? Stop or don't stop?
I don't know, she wailed. I don't know what to do, Drake. Help me, please.
He lifted his head and looked deep into her eyes, his expression somber and so very sincere.
Trust me, baby. I'll always have you. I'll always guide you. I'll always show you exactly what to do. You just have to let yourself go and trust me to get you there.
She palmed his face in her hands and lifted her head to kiss him, her first act of aggression.
I do, Drake. God help me, but I do. I feel safe with you. I've never felt so safe in my life.
A savage fire blazed in his eyes, and she knew her words pleased him, that it was exactly the right thing to do and say.
Lie back, angel, and let me love you. We have all night, and I plan to take my sweet time pleasuring my lady.
She closed her eyes against the sudden wash of emotion. In that moment, she felt wanted. Cherished, like she mattered, that she wasn't average and a nobody. Drake made her feel so very special, and she didn't have the words to describe how very precious he made her feel. No man had ever looked at her like he did. No man had ever stood up for her, stood by her side, and had her back. It was more than she could take in. She was completely and utterly overwhelmed.
Are you with me, baby? He whispered. I want you with me all the way.
Oh, yes, Drake. I'm with you. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else but right here and right now.
He shuddered against her, and then lifted himself off her just enough to divest himself of his clothing, and she stared with unabashed wonder at the beauty of this man. Her gaze traveled from the top of his body, over the broad expanse of his chest and finally to his taut abdomen that sported a delicious six-pack. But when her eyes drifted lower still to the whirl of hair at his groin and the enormous, turgid erection, they were wide with shock. Eddie wasn't a small man, and it had hurt when he penetrated her. But Drake? He made Eddie look like a prepubescent teenager, and she swallowed nervously, as she contemplated the fact that if Eddie had hurt her, a lot, and Drake was much larger, how on earth would she be able to take him? His cock was swollen and rigid, straining upward toward his navel, almost lying flat against his abdomen. At her best guess, he had to be at least 8 inches in length, and she couldn't even fathom how thick he was. Surely this wasn't possible. And yet she was fascinated by the sheer maleness of him, his muscled, broad chest, his thickly roped thighs and bulging biceps. He towered over her, well over 6 feet, making her feel delicate and so much smaller. He could squash her like a bug without even intending to. Maybe this wasn't such a good idea. Her initiation into sex had been a disaster, and the man about to make love to her was much larger than her first lover.
Angel, look at me, he said in a gentle tone that held none of the dominance of before. I will never hurt you. Please don't fear me. You've only had the bad, and now I'm going to give you the sweet. You said you trusted me. So trust me to make this good for you, for both of us. His words fell like a cleansing rain, soothing her fears and apprehension.
Sorry, she said, attempting to replace her grimace with a smile. I'm not exactly an expert at this, but even I know you're bigger than the average male.
She hesitated for a moment, holding her breath, deciding whether she wanted to risk ruining such a poignant moment. But he needed to know what she was thinking. He deserved to know. He'd been nothing but understanding and patient.
She owed him her honesty.
The first time hurt a lot, and he was a fraction of the size of you. It's not that I don't trust you. I just worry that I won't be able to physically accommodate you without it hurting even more. I want you with my every breath, more than I want to breathe, more than I've wanted anything in my life. But I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little afraid. Because I want it to be perfect with you, Drake. Because you are so very perfect.
His entire gaze softened, and she let out a sigh of relief that she hadn't angered him by bringing up her first lover while in Drake's bed. His kiss was warm and full of everything Eddie's had lacked. For several long seconds, he leisurely explored her mouth, lapping gently at her lips, paying particular attention to one corner. When he drew slightly away, his eyes were serious, but full of warmth and sincerity.
"It's not the size that matters, Angel. What matters is that the man ensures his woman is ready and prepared, and yes, able to take him. And I promise you, I will make sure you are all of those things before I ever take that final step. And if at any time I do something that hurts you, then it ends immediately. And I expect you to tell me you're hurting, because I will be very pissed off if you think you have to endure pain to please me. Understand?"
She smiled so broadly that her cheeks ached and tears burned her eyelids.
"Now can we get back to the really, really good parts?"
"I thought you'd never ask," he said huskily. He pressed his lips to hers again, making love to her mouth, kissing her long and leisurely, tasting every part of her tongue, absorbing her essence, breathing her air, giving her his. Then he slowly traveled down her body, lavishing kisses, nips, suckling her nipples, until she was mindless, her desperation growing by the second. When he tracked lower still and put one firm hand between her thighs to part them, she sighed long and hard, remembering the night in his office, when he'd given her the mother of all orgasms using only his tongue. Using his fingers, he traced a line down the seam of her folds and then gently parted them, bearing her clit and pussy to his sight and his seeking tongue. She moaned deep in her throat. That first time had been urgent, overwhelming, like a bomb going off. This time he lapped, licked, suckled, and teased, drawing out and prolonging her pleasure for what seemed like an eternity. He slid a finger inside her vagina, softly stroking the walls, reaching deeper to press gently on her G-spot, something she thought was a myth. Sudden wetness soaked his finger, and he issued a growl of satisfaction that vibrated over her clit that he was laving with his tongue. She was going to orgasm, and she wanted him inside her, whether he fit or not. She twisted restlessly, silently begging him to possess her, to sink so far inside her that they were no longer two people. Just one. "Just a little longer, my angel," he murmured against her clit. "I want to make damn sure I don't hurt you."
She nearly screamed. "Hurt me. I don't care. Just make this ache go away."
He carefully inserted a second finger, stretching her and stroking back and forth until she became even wetter. And then he withdrew his fingers and lowered his mouth to her opening and tongued her entrance, nearly causing her to orgasm on the spot. He circled the opening, licking and lightly sucking, and then he slid his tongue inward, tasting her from the inside out. She was panting, her entire body tightening in anticipation of something truly extraordinary. Then his mouth left her, and her keen of disappointment was sharp in the room. His hand calmed her.
"Just a moment, Angel. I have to protect you.
A moment later, he spread her thighs even further and positioned himself on his knees between them, grasping his enormous erection with one hand, while he continued to stroke her until he was satisfied she was ready.
"Nice and easy," he soothed. "There is no hurry. If you need me to stop, say so. But I'm going to go slow and give you time to adjust."
She felt the blunt head of his penis press against her entrance, and she instinctively arched upward, wanting to take more of him. But he held her hips firmly against the mattress to prevent her from doing so. But he paused and gazed down at her, fierce possession etched in every facet of his face.
"This is your first time, Angel. This is what counts. It's your first time with me, and you're going to get respect and reverence, and your gift will be cherished as it should have been. I want you to forget everything that came before me. And as this is your first time with me, it's also my first time with you. Don't think that doesn't mean anything. It means everything."
Something shifted deeply inside her, her heart going tight and then softening, allowing an opening that had never been there before, that she'd never allowed anyone access to. Emotion overwhelmed her, and she was incapable of responding, even if she wanted to. But what could she possibly say on the heels of something as special as what he had just given her? Himself. Absolution from what she considered the worst mistake of her life. Forgotten. It no longer existed here in his arms. He was right. This was her first time to make love. He pressed forward slowly, agonizingly slow. But as he gained more depth, she now understood why he'd gone to such lengths to prepare her. Even as wet as she was, she had no idea how he was going to get all the way in. Several times he paused and remained still and used his thumb to caress her clit, causing her to spasm around his cock. She wasn't sure who was groaning, him or her, but his face was a wreath of strain, eyes closed, head thrown back, as if he were experiencing the sweetest of pleasures or the most piercing pain. Maybe both. It gave her an immeasurable amount of satisfaction that she, Evangeline Hawthorne, average and nothing special, could bring this beautiful man, who could have any woman in the world, such exquisite pleasure.
"Hold on to me, Angel," he said in a strained voice. "Wrap your legs around my waist and tilt your sweet little ass up, so I have a better angle."
Eager to comply with his wishes, she quickly did as he instructed, and he pushed forward another inch, eliciting a gasp from both of them.
"Do it, Drake," she whispered. "You won't hurt me. You'll never hurt me. Take me. Make me yours. Please, I need you. So much. I need you. I need this."
He groaned and seemed to wage an inner war with himself, but her please, or maybe that she'd said she needed him, seemed to push him over the edge, and he surged forward in a forceful lunge that seated him to the balls deep inside her. Her eyes flew open as she was bombarded with 100 different overwhelming sensations, and not one of them was pain. She tightened her legs around him. She dug her nails into his shoulders, and she arched upward to take as much of him as she could. Still, he thrust back and forth in a slow rhythm, sinking as deep as he could before withdrawing until the tip on his head barely breached her opening, and then he would languidly glide back to his fullest depth. Evangeline had never felt anything more beautiful in her life, and she never would. She knew that as surely as she knew the sun rose every morning. Her orgasm was blooming like a flower unfurling under a ray of sunshine,
and she felt Drake tense above her and knew he was as close as she was. The night he'd brought her to orgasm in his office had been a fast climb to an overwhelming explosion that had left her shattered. This was something so much sweeter, yet no less intense or shattering to her senses. This wasn't merely physical, as it had been then. Her heart was already fast becoming involved, and she was helpless to stop it.
"Together," she whispered. "I'm so close, Drake. I can't, won't, last much longer."
"Then let go. We'll go together," he whispered in her ear.
The world blurred around her, but the one thing that remained sharply in focus was Drake's face above hers, him kissing her with breathless passion and tenderness shining in his eyes. Finally, it was too much, and she latched on to Drake, wrapping every part of her body around him as she began to shatter into a million pieces, like stars scattered haphazardly across a clear night. He emitted a hoarse shout, and then carefully